Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the title of our podcast today is Death Do Us Part, the story about convicted killer Robert Rattlesnake James. Robert Rattlesnake James was a murderer, and we're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind everyone, we are a true crime comedy podcast. We use adult language. And so if you find that offensive, then we would invite you to check out some of the other fine podcasts out there, like They Walk Among Us. And Brandy's got a suggestion.
Yeah. Steve Pappas, one of our listeners, does a thing called So This Is Adulting. Is that right?
Yes, it's a podcast.
It's amazing. It's very funny. It's very funny, and he does a great job with it. So it's not true crime. It's a little off the beaten path, but it's a wonderful podcast. So if you get a chance, check it out.
Yes. And since I guess I should have introduced you.
Whatever.
I will do that now.
Okay.
Let me introduce the lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Brandy the First. How are you, Queen Brandy?
All right. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, we're doing this podcast without the Colonel today.
Because he's a diva.
Yeah. He was here, but he left early, so.
Diva.
We decided we want to go ahead and get this out. So we apologize. I know we've been doing this.
I don't apologize.
Well, I apologize to our listeners because we don't have all three of us together.
I know. We're working on it.
Yeah, we are working on it. So until then, you're just stuck with Brandy and I. So we talk about Rattlesnake James. What's been going on with you, Brandy?
We had New Year's.
Yes. Everyone did, actually.
Everyone.
You.
I said we.
Okay.
I said we.
The collective we.
Collective we had New Year's. I went over to my relative's house, and they're mainly Mormons. My husband asked me.
Do they believe in New Year's?
They believe in New Year's, but my husband asked me if we were going to party like it was 1899, which was pretty close. Pretty close. I left there about 10:30 and came home to watch a intervention marathon. So I was a happy girl.
I watched the Twilight Zone marathon.
Did you?
Yes.
How was it?
Oh,
did it scare
God.
You?
It did. No, it's yeah, it was great.
Well, good.
Like maybe 10 or 12 shows.
Did you, like, in a row? Because that's big for you. Did you watch them in half-hour increments?
No, I mean, it's like over the weekend I watched it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, not. Don't be silly.
I know, I didn't, whatever. I know, sorry.
I can't watch TV more than 20 minutes. I get nervous.
Yeah, because that's not weird.
Hitting it right. So, we're talking about maybe doing another DweebCon in October.
I read that.
Are you excited about that?
I would love to do another DweebCon, Wrath of Brandy, whatever
Wrath of Brandy, yes.
Whatever you decided to call it that time. I would love to.
DweebCon 2.
Yes.
Yes. We're looking at fall, like late September, early October. So if you want more information about that, join our Facebook group page, History Dweebs, the podcast, where we'll be hashing out the details, Brandy.
Evidently, that's what's going to happen.
Do you feel a little sad that the Colonel's not here?
I do not.
He was here, but he just left.
He did.
Without any consideration to our listeners.
None.
To hell with the Colonel's bad girls, I think is what he said.
I think he did, too.
Yes. I thought I heard that.
I definitely heard it. And he is a bit of a diva. We're having problems with him anyway.
Yes. But he should be back next time.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I know.
Ooh, wait a minute, though. And I want to send out a thank you to Tommy Lane, who sent me 3 screwdrivers in the mail.
Oh, nice. Like real screwdrivers or like the drink?
No, like real screwdrivers.
Oh, well, that was nice.
For when I feel stabby. Well, and some really sweet-ass Post-its. Well, so I appreciated that. That was very sweet.
And I got some very nice stickers from our friends at Bloody Murder. And it's probably for all of it.
Yeah, I didn't get one. Where's mine?
Well, I'll work on it. But thank you.
Is that going to be too much for you to take on the bus?
Darren Barney, thank you for the very nice stickers. It's really appreciated.
Can you get them on the bus or do you have to?
All those people who send us very nice cards.
Yes, I appreciate that.
At Christmas time, that was very nice.
Yes.
So we've got some very nice listeners, Brandy. And I don't know why they all like the Colonel, because
I don't either, but I love our listeners. I think they're
too,
pretty spectacular.
But the Colonel doesn't. He doesn't take his obligations seriously.
He's a twat waffle.
Yeah, so he's
My sticker though. Let's talk. I want
all
my
right,
sticker.
All right. See, it's on the back of my computer.
I saw that. I want to know, can you bring mine on the bus? I mean, will it fit in your bag?
I will bring it someday.
You'll bring
shout out to Matthew. He
Sunday
sent me a message saying Happy New Year to you and me and Chuck. So thank you.
We got a lot of that.
Yes.
We got a lot of that. And Happy New Year to all of you. I hope that you have. It is Wednesday, so I hope that you all have recovered.
Yes.
Had I been drinking on New Year's, I would still not be recovered.
You know who's not having a good New Year's?
Who?
Robert Rattlesnake James.
Well, tell me about him, Timmy.
Let me tell you about him.
All right.
Robert James. He's got 2 first names.
See Jesse's brother?
No. He was
stupid.
He was born in the 40s, 1940s.
All right.
He was married 5 times, Brandy.
Well, him and Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, just like Elizabeth Taylor. And had a long-term affair with his own niece.
Pretty gross.
Yeah, she was young, too. At least 2 of his wives died under suspicious circumstances, Brandy. In each incident, Robert collected large sums of money from insurance companies.
Of course he did.
In 1940, Robert James was convicted of first-degree murder and became the last person to be hanged in the state of California. So he has that to, you know,
aww,
that to brag about. Well, I guess he can't brag about it.
Well, he sure can. He can.
Bobby James.
He can brag about it in the afterlife.
Robert S. James, Brandy, if he had a...
BJ.
If he had a...
Let's call him BJ.
No, let's not. If he had
Big baby.
A monogram handkerchief, it would be RSJ.
I like BJ better.
Was actually born, his name was Major Raymond Lissenbaugh. Lissenbaugh. Major Raymond.
First of all, I'm sure you fucked that up, but second of all...
LISENBA, Lissenbaugh.
But his first name was Major.
Major, M-A-J-O-R.
I don't like that. Why are they giving him military rank out of the badge? Out of the badge they're giving him that.
Really.
Well, it should. People who give themselves military ranks without, that's kind of a bitch move.
Wish my parents named me Archduke.
Me too.
That'd be so cool. Because we'd be the only podcast with an Archduke.
We would.
Maybe I'll just name it. Maybe I'll just, you know, we talked last time about, I talked last time about changing my name to Diablo, but.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about Archduke Diablo?
I'd go for it. That's what I say. I say, damn the man, go
hey,
for it.
I'll put that on Tinder, on my Tinder profile.
Oh, you'll get it thrown at you.
Because I'm telling you what, you know, thrown. Women don't get to sleep with an Archduke very often.
They do not. And you'll have Poo Nanny coming at your ears.
Well, Major Raymond Lissenbaugh was born in 1895 to Alabama sharecroppers. See, that thing was kind of, that's like, what is that kind of when, you know, you're like, they're visionary.
Oh, it's predetermined.
Yeah.
It's like naming.
If they call him Major, eventually he'll be a Major.
Yeah, like naming your kid, you know, Sparkle.
But why wouldn't you name him General? If you're going to, I mean, you seem
General,
like you're
General's
you're
pushing it.
It seems like you're weighting the kid down. You know, you're putting limits on his expectations.
But then if he achieves that, then he's General Major, and that doesn't make any sense. That's stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
His whole name.
That's why I'm saying call him General instead.
His name is dumb, actually. I'm glad he changed it.
He was an odd boy, Brandy.
Imagine that.
Seems like we get that a lot when we're on these stories.
Imagine
he was
that.
An odd boy who was expelled from school for putting poisonous spiders on the toilet seat in the teacher's restroom.
Well, boys, boys will be boys.
That doesn't seem like a. Is that out of line?
Boys will be boys.
Yes. The grade school principal was bitten on the penis by one of the spiders and had to be hospitalized for several weeks.
I have a problem with that. First of all.
What's your problem? Well, he had a problem with it too, obviously.
Well, look, if they're
if he didn't get bit on the penis, he probably would never got expelled.
But here's the thing. If they're on the toilet, wouldn't you squish them when you sat down?
I don't know.
Are they jumping spiders? Because if this guy
there wasn't a lot of detail exactly what happened.
And if this guy's just standing up to pee, are they jumping spiders that jumped on him and bit his penis?
Maybe he was going number two and they just crawled up underneath.
But you would think he'd squish him when he sat down on his butt talks.
Fact is stranger than fiction, Brandy. So he's in trouble with school because his principal.
Did they have to amputate?
I don't know, but you wonder if it happened to like just a regular teacher that he would got as much trouble. But
I think if you set a bug that bites somebody on the penis, I think that you've pretty much sealed your fate.
Well, in sixth grade, Brandy, Robert was arrested for setting fire to an outhouse on the school property.
Sure, because you should arrest sixth graders. They're assholes.
While another student was inside.
Well, come on.
It's going a little bit too far.
It is taking it a little far. In fairness.
Because, you know, the kid's running out. He's got his underwear around his ankles. He's falling down.
Look, in fairness, aren't you supposed to light a match after you go number two anyway? I'm just saying.
The student was not injured, thank God. And although Robert was arrested, the charges were eventually dropped. He was permanently expelled from school over the incident.
How do you drop? Wait a minute. He goes. You know wait what? A minute. He goes.
I'm watching every time. I'm not. When he goes into the restroom, I'm not following him.
Look, because he goes burning bed on some kid and just gets like nothing. Seriously,
kicked out of school, expelled.
Yeah, but I thought he got expelled for having the teacher's peppy bitten.
Well. He did, but he didn't. It wasn't permanent. But when he caught the kid,
when you expel somebody, it's permanent.
Yeah. Now, so then he went to work picking cotton, and that it looked like his future was pretty bleak at that point, Brandy.
Well,
but his sister's husband sent him to barber school.
Oh, okay.
So he saved him a life of
cotton picking.
Cotton picking. Yes. He married his first wife, Maud Duncan.
Maud?
At the age of 26, Maud.
Aw.
The marriage, however, quickly ended in divorce when she accused him of being sadistic and engaging in perverted sexual practices, Brandy.
Ew. Yeah, nowadays it's kind of what we all hope for.
Yeah, I wonder what it was. I didn't get the details of what it was.
I wonder if you want to do butt stuff.
I'm sure it's at least butt stuff, but I'm thinking it's more like rubber and bondage and
Back in the 40s.
Oh, yeah, because they had all that, you know, True Detective magazine.
Dude, it was butt stuff. I'm telling you.
Maybe. Marriage number two also ended in divorce.
He's tearing it up.
He was married five times.
Yeah, he's tearing it up.
Ended in divorce when Robert skipped town after an angry father came after him with a shotgun for getting his young daughter pregnant.
There we go.
He soon ended up in Fargo, North Dakota, one of your favorite places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You like that movie, right? It's a TV show.
I like the movie and the TV show. I would never, ever want to go there.
And he changed his name to Robert James.
Is that so the father wouldn't find him?
He's on the lam, I think, then. He married wife number three. Wiona Wallace.
Wiona is better than Wiona.
It's not much.
Well.
It's better than Maud.
Maud. I don't know. Maud was a great show.
Within days, you know she was in the Marines.
I did.
Within days, and we're talking about, what's her name?
B. Arthur.
Yeah, not Cloris Leachman.
Not Cloris Leachman. She was not in the Marines.
She's a different person.
But she's amazing, too. I worship Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, see, I didn't like. She had that show Phyllis, and it sucked. It
was. Well, I don't know anything about Phyllis, but she's amazing.
It was a spinoff of.
She's amazingly
Mary
funny.
Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Like it had all kind of, it had Lou Grant spinoff. It had Rhoda.
Right.
It had, I don't know, Ted Danson or Ted.
Too Close
Knight
for Comfort.
Yeah, that wasn't a spinoff, but he had his own show.
Yeah. Cloris Leachman should have her own show. I would watch her YouTube channel.
And what's her name was on there, right? The old lady.
Betty White?
Yeah, but she had a spinoff from her. I don't know if she had a spinoff, but there's.
I don't know if she had a spinoff, but she's had, you know, she's had a decent career.
Yeah,
you know,
Rhoda. I think she's dead. She's dead now.
She is not dead.
Oh, she's dying or something. Not looking good for Rhoda.
I thought maybe she's dead.
Yeah, check that out.
I'll look that up. Go ahead, finish your sentence. Finally,
all right. So within days of the wedding, I'm marrying Wynonna Wallace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
James took out insurance policies on his wife, which included clauses for accidental death.
Yeah, you got to watch those.
So he takes out this insurance policy on her for accidental death. Guess where they went on their honeymoon?
I don't know. The desert.
Pike's Peak.
There we go. She is alive.
Rhoda's still alive, hanging in there.
But Rhoda's hanging in there.
I think she is not doing well.
No, she's better. So you don't know shit from apple butter, what you're talking about.
God bless, Rhoda. What's her name?
Valerie Harper?
Yeah, Valerie Harper.
Yeah, shit from apple butter.
While his wife was driving down the mountain, according to James, she apparently lost control of the car and went off the road. He claimed that he jumped out from the moving car and went for help. When officials arrived at the scene of the accident, they found the car resting against a large rock approximately 150 feet below the road. His wife, Wynonna, was just outside the car, her feet resting on the running board. Oh, this is when they had running boards. Remember that? I wish they bring running boards back. Amazingly,
she I always hit my shin on them.
Amazingly, she managed to survive this large drop and was unconscious. The officials noted that her head was covered in blood. They also discovered a large amount of blood inside the car and a bloody hammer lying on the floor.
That would give it away.
Yeah. It's probably that hammer. It was probably just flying in the air when she drove down.
And hit her in the head 18 times.
Yes. Officials couldn't help but notice, Brandy, that although James claimed to have jumped to safety from the out-of-control car, his suit was amazingly neat.
Well, you know.
Well, you shouldn't.
You can't walk around disheveled after an accident.
No.
You could be on the news.
Maybe he dusted himself off.
You could be on the news. You got to be camera ready at all times. All times.
You should not. They should not.
I know I am.
They should not blame him for being neat. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
That seems to be a little out. That was uncalled for. They should not have made note of his neatness.
No.
That's something we should encourage.
Seems prejudicial.
It does. Not a piece of clothing was out of place, Brandy.
I'm telling you.
Not a tear nor a speck of dirt could be found on the suit either.
Hmm.
So he's well-dressed. He takes care of himself. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Wynonna.
Wynonna.
Is immediately taken to the hospital in Colorado Springs, and surgeons were able to save her life.
Bummer for him.
Unfortunately, she was unable to remember any of the facts surrounding her terrifying ordeal. She does not remember driving off the cliff.
Well, and that's one of those things I would think you'd remember.
Well, yeah, it slips your mind. When Wynonna has finally... when she was finally released from the hospital, Robert James took her to a remote cabin in Manitow Springs, Colorado.
Well, she needed to rest. Wynonna... needed to rest.
On the premise that she needed a quiet place in which to recover.
Yeah.
So that's, you're agreeing with this guy.
That's legit.
Right. Now, the local, Gerald Rogers worked at the local.
What was that?
Gerald Rogers worked in the local grocery store in Manitow Springs.
So the IGA.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the early evening on October 14, 1932, James entered the store, ordered some groceries, and asked they be delivered to his cabin. Why he just didn't take them with him, I don't know.
Well, he ordered them. He didn't want to do all that.
Dude, I tried Grubhub over the weekend. That is like, I may never go outside again.
I'm not surprised by any of those words.
You just pay them and they pick up all your food. And
I can't believe it took you that long to try it.
I know. I'm a little behind times.
Well, but it was great. Especially being the hermit that you are. I can't believe that.
Oh, my God. It was perfect. BW3s, I bring it right to my house.
Oh, my gosh.
In the end, James decided to hitch a ride back to the cabin with Rogers and his groceries. See, I don't understand why this guy's coming.
So, wait a minute. So, I just want to make sure I have this clear in my mind. So,
he's delivering.
So, BJ goes into the IGA.
Uh-huh.
And click lists some groceries.
Yes.
Wants some groceries. So then the two of them. Yeah, he wants them delivered.
Right.
So then the two of them.
He has a bad back. He just went through that fall, terrible fall.
Well, that's true. But then the two of them ride back to the cabin with the groceries.
Yes.
Why you need that extra guy?
Well, not only they ride back. Yeah, right. They hitched a ride.
Like the two of them hitched a ride, like in a truck?
No, he hitched a ride.
Somebody
with
has a car.
Rogers was delivering the groceries.
That to his house. Oh, so since you're going there anyway,
yeah, it's like,
can you give me a ride?
It's like asking pizza to deliver food to someplace and then...
Just going with them. So, but
it's
I mean,
cheaper than a taxi.
Yeah. So, I mean, since you're going anyway, you mind if I just kind of slide on in there?
Apparently that's what he had in mind. So...
Well, it's fucking stupid.
When the two of the men arrived at the cabin, he told Rogers to take the groceries into the kitchen while he went to search for his wife, Wiona.
Wynonna? And where could she be? She's got a huge horking head injury.
See where this is leading. He wants
I do, right. And I love that. But just take those on in for me.
James suddenly appeared in the kitchen, visibly upset, Brandy.
Uh-oh.
And he motioned for Rogers to follow him. The two men entered the bathroom where Roger saw Wynonna, lying on her back in the tub, half filled with lukewarm, soapy water. She appeared to have died from drowning.
Hey,
this is after going driving off the side of the mountain.
Hey, stranger. Hey, stranger. I know we're tight now because you're putting away my cream corn in the fucking cabinet, but come in here because my wife is naked and dead and I need you to see it.
Yeah, he wanted a witness, I think. The coroner...
This guy's really not that bright.
The coroner suggested that they do an autopsy.
An autopsy?
But Robert James refused.
Of course he did.
Later, he asked the coroner to change the death certificate to reflect that the drowning was a direct result of the car accident. Remember these guys.
Right.
Life insurance.
Well, right. He's got to make it look like an act. I don't understand. Maybe had they been in the car that had gone into the bathtub.
Well, you know, this is. I think what he's saying here is that if not for the car accident, she would not be dead in the bathtub.
Here's the thing. I understand what he's saying. I completely get that.
What was the guy's case here in Cincinnati where his wife died in a bathtub?
Oh, Ryan Widmer?
Yeah. They ended up convicting him, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We have to do that case one time. That's an interesting case.
He didn't put a car in the bathtub, though.
No. This guy's a little bit more flagrant activities. All right. So he gets the coroner to change the death certificate to say that it was a direct result of the car accident. Although the death seems suspicious, there were no official investigations launched. And James was able to collect $14,000, the life insurance policy he had taken out on Wynonna.
Oh, my God.
Immediately after they were married. On her honeymoon. $14,000 back then was a pretty good chunk of change.
It's a chunk of change now.
Yeah, but back then it was, you know.
A bigger chunk of change. Yeah, I get that.
With the money, James bought a new car, a Pierce Arrow convertible, Brandy.
Ooh.
A new ride.
And well, now he didn't have to get a ride from the grocer.
He got a new wardrobe. Well, his one car drove off the side of the mountain.
And he's new wardrobe because he wore his one suit to the car accident.
He headed back to his hometown in Alabama to share his good fortune with his family, Brandy.
I'm sure.
And how does Robert James repay his sister and brother-in-law for sending him to barber school, you might ask?
He fucks their kid.
He seduces their 18-year-old daughter, his niece, Lois Wright.
Booyah.
And moves with her to Los Angeles, where they set up his barber shop as he hunts for wife number four.
why didn't he stay in Alabama and just marry his niece?
Oh, we got some Alabama listeners. That's not nice. But Roy Moore would have done that.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, she's a little bit too
She's
old.
18.
She's 18. She's a little too old for Roy Moore. Okay, after his marriage. Did I say he got married again? No. After his marriage, James filed papers to have. So he got married to wife number four, but he had to have annulled. Yeah.
What happened to wife number three?
Well, three was killed.
Was three Winona?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's divorced. He's twice divorced and now widower. And now we've got wife number four here.
Yes.
Out of fucking nowhere. We got wife
he
number
met
four.
He married wife after wife number four. That was a short relationship.
So she's just a blip.
Yeah. The doctor required him to take a physical exam to get married. And
what?
I guess at the time there was some rule or some law that they had to get married where they was going to get married for take a physical exam, and he refused to do it. So they had the marriage annulled. It doesn't make any sense to me either. But well, I'm just reading it.
I understand, and I don't understand why you'd have to do it. And then, but sidebar, I don't understand why there'd need. Why would you refuse it? Unless he's got the SIF or something.
I don't know.
Why is he refusing it? Okay, whatever.
I don't know. It's Major. His name is Major.
His name is Major. He's a major pain in the ass, is what he is.
During this time, he married wife number five, Mary Bush.
Well.
Mary was a 27-year-old beauty. Now, remember, he's still banging his niece.
I got that.
Right. Mary
Did he have to get a physical?
Mary was a 27-year-old beauty whose unfortunate misstep was the man she chose to fall in love with in 1935 when she answered an ad for a job at a beauty parlor in downtown Los Angeles. The owner of the shop was none other than Robert James.
BJ.
He was looking for a manicurist, Brandy.
Aren't we all?
Shortly after Mary was hired, and two were married within 3 months. And 2 months later, the couple was expecting their first child. So it's love. On the evening of August 3rd, 1935, Mary fell while she was working at the shop.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Her husband put her in a taxi and sent her home. Very considerate. The following day, August 4th, Robert opened the store of the shop on his own. He told his employees that Mary was feeling a little under the weather and would possibly come in later in the day if she was feeling better. By 7:30 that evening, Mary still had not made an appearance at the shop. So Robert closed the store for the night. He invited two friends, co-workers, is to join him at his home for dinner. Viola Luke, who was a close friend of Mary's.
Viola.
And her boyfriend, Jim Pendleton. Okay. Viola and Jim, he's inviting them over to his house.
Okay.
All right. When they arrived at his pink stucco house, I don't know why I put that in there.
Hard telling.
But anyway, they lived in the suburb of L.A.
Yeah.
Robert was surprised to find the house was dark and there was no sign.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Dina Mary.
Shocking.
After searching the house, Robert and his guest headed out to the backyard garden where they made a ghastly discovery, Brandy.
Was it ghastly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the middle of the garden was a fish pond. Several goldfish could be seen darting beneath pink and white water lilies floating on top of the water.
Hmm.
In the center, they sat a bearded gnome.
A gnome?
A bearded gnome.
Okay.
Smoking on a pipe.
Sure, as they are wont to do.
Smiling down upon an unexpected occupant of the pool. That occupant was none other than Mary Bush James, Brandon.
Aw, man.
She was lying face down in the pool with her arms and her legs spread apart behind her back. Somehow. She's face down in the pool.
Okay.
Well, Robert was, of course, shocked that he's had some very... he's unlucky in love, Brandy.
Yes, well.
When the police arrived, they brought a physician with them, and Mary was pronounced dead at the scene.
Of course.
At first glance, it appeared like an accidental drowning, Brandy.
Of course it did. Women are just drowning all over the place. Mother, bitches need to learn to swim, evidently, if you marry this guy.
You run that risk when you have a fish pond and a gnome.
Well, right.
You could hit your head on a gnome. Those gnomes, though, they're freaky. Because I think they come alive when you're not watching.
They don't.
Yeah, like when you leave for the day, put a camera in it. Put a gnome in your apartment or your house,
uh-huh.
And put a camera in there and leave for the day. Those some bitches come alive when you're not around.
Yeah, they don't, but that's okay.
I think the gnome is what killed her.
Yeah.
She had always loved to watch goldfish, Brandy. At first, it appeared that it was an accidental drowning. Robert explained to police that Mary was pregnant and was having dizzy spells. Did you have dizzy spells when you were pregnant?
Sometimes.
All right. Well, you know that can happen.
It does.
Especially when you got a gnome around.
Gnomes tend to kick me off balance.
There's no place like gnome. She also loved to watch goldfish, Brandy. So you got gnomes, you got the goldfish, you got the pool, you got a pregnant woman.
What happening?
It's the perfect storm.
Lot happening.
So when the she loved to watch the goldfish, it was surmised that when she became dizzy, she fell, struck her head on the gnome, and landed face down in the pool, knocked herself out, landed face down in the pool and drowned.
Yeah.
That was what the on the surface, that's what appeared and what happened.
On the surface.
When the physician examined Mary's body, he found no evidence of a head injury.
I feel like they need to look a little harder.
But he did notice that her right leg was discolored.
Huh.
And swollen.
Uh-huh.
And that she had a cut right on her right great toe. Big toe, I guess. Right?
What?
When the police searched the house, they found a note to Mary's sister. Robert confirmed it was her handwriting in which she told her sister that she was pretty sick. Her leg was swollen. Something had bitten her while she was watering her flowers that morning, and she was going to go out in the backyard and look at the goldfish.
Huh.
And she was feeling dizzy. While they were searching, one of the detectives discovered something was out of place. Something was amiss, Brandon.
The cut on the big toe. Because nobody cuts their toes.
He found a bottle of Black Widow spiders in the dark corner of James's garage. Do you have a bottle of Black Widow spiders?
A bottle of Black Widow spiders? Yeah, but I only use them for my cauldron stuff.
Given the unusual circumstances, the police were about to rule Mary Bush's James murder suspicious. Well, isn't all murder suspicious, really? Death suspicious.
You would think.
Until they spoke to one of the neighbors. A retired English army officer named Dinsley. Dimsley claimed that he's seen a young woman walking alone in the garden near the pool. He's seen the young woman walk, so he saw her out there by the pool by herself. A coroner's inquest was held, and the question of how Mary James died remained unanswered, Brandy.
Fine. Well, unanswered to some.
Well, this guy's got pretty bad luck when it comes to his...
He's like Chuck. People
spouses.
Just drop dead around him.
No. The man's had, you know, he had some losses. What if he gets a tattoo every time a wife drowns?
God, he's got a sleeve by now. However, when Robert James filed a claim to collect on his wife's insurance policies, totaling $21,400, he launched a chain of events that would lead to his downfall.
See, always follow the money, Brandy.
His claim prompted the usual investigation by the insurance company, but their findings were anything but usual. Robert James, BJ, had obtained policies totaling $10,000, naming himself as his wife's beneficiary from the Mutual Life Insurance Company and the...
Just seems like a prudent thing to do.
Occidental Life Insurance Company?
Seems like a prudent thing to do. Since
you would think.
He lost one
here's
wife
the trick.
A terrible, tragic
Look,
accident.
But here's the trick.
Driving and, across the mountain, over the mountain.
And kids, if you do... Right. And kids,
yeah, that's a pretty bad day. You drive off the mountain, then you drown in your bathtub later.
Right. Was it who was it? The guy from Def Leppard survived a plane crash?
Leonard Skinner. Yeah, he survived a plane crash and got shot.
Yeah.
When he went to get help for trespassing.
That blows. But here's a lesson for all you kids. When you go to kill your spouse,
yes.
How about you take out an insurance policy a few years ahead of time?
Well.
Not like 3 days ahead of time.
You never know when things are going to happen, you know?
Well, for Pete's sake. All right, so so he's got this $10,000 life insurance policy.
Right.
He tried to push for payment under the double indemnity clause.
Well, he should, since it was an accident.
The companies refused to pay out, and he filed a lawsuit.
I wonder if they refused because there was a gnome involved, because sometimes the gnome, there's a gnome clause. And if gnome,
is there?
Yeah, I went to law school, trust me. There's a gnome clause in many...
But you're not a lawyer.
It's boilerplate language.
You didn't pass the bar.
There's boilerplate language in most...
it's not even boiled water language.
It's in most insurance policies, it's known as the gnome clause. That mm-hmm. if a gnome is involved in any suspicious death, that the insurance companies would not have to pay double indemnity.
First of all, gnomes are involved in every suspicious death. And second of all...
I don't know.
No.
I like that little guy that helps me find my flights.
Yeah, he's shady.
Traveloxy, really.
Well, yeah, because he wants to know where you're going to be so he can rob your ass later. All right, so he files suit. Unfortunately, he had to settle for
$3,500. Well, that seems like a ripoff.
Well, he had to admit in court that him and Mary Bush were not legally married at the time he initiated the policies. Turns out... He was still married and in the midst of an annulment when he pretended to marry Mary.
Pretending to marry Mary.
Ugh. The two were not legally married until several months later.
Wouldn't you hate to do be doing his genealogy?
God, what a nightmare.
First, he changes his name.
It's just...
I have a friend that changed his name. He changed his last name. And I was like, you know, for 100 years, 100 years from now, people are going to be fucked up trying to do your family tree. Yeah. All of a sudden... He changed his last name. It's like all of a sudden you're there. You'll make no sense to them at all.
That's when your family tree turns out to be a wreath.
Yes.
So, all right. So at the time he initiated the policies, he was still legally married to his other wife.
Okay.
And they weren't legally married. Him and Mary were not legally married until several months later on July 19th, just a few weeks before her death.
Well, I wonder why they gave him $3,500.
I don't know. Probably just to shut him up. Yeah. The investigator continued digging and also uncovered the fact that James had been married at least 5 times, along with the fact that at least one of his other wives had drowned in a bathtub after being heavily insured.
Well, see, they shouldn't hold that against the man.
James,
it was a tragic loss for him.
I'm sure he grieved for 10 minutes. James' payout for her policies totaled about $18,000. In each case, both women died after the first premium had been paid. That's when you move,
make your move. Because if you pay too many premiums, then you're just breaking even.
Right. Duh. The investigator decided to go to the police with the fact... I'm going to read this here. The investigator decided to go to police with the facts, his suspicions, which resulted in them... Are they facts or suspicions?
Suspicions at this point.
Suspicious facts.
Yes.
Which resulted in them launching an investigation into James's past.
All right.
So BJ's being investigated.
Got that dragnet on it. Joe Friday's on it.
For sure. After Mary's suspicious death, James moved back in and openly continued his relationship with his niece. Gross. It's like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, they're in love.
Nope.
I hope she showers instead of takes baths.
Right. Or stays away from ponds and cars.
And gnomes.
During their investigation into Mary's death, the police decided to bug James's residence.
Wow.
And even though...
They put it in the gnome. A little mic in the gnome. That's what I would have done.
Well, and even though they didn't uncover...
I'm sly like that.
You are so fucking sly. Even though they didn't uncover any evidence to prove that he had murdered Mary, they did have enough evidence to arrest him for having sex with his niece, because he's a foul motherfucker. On April 19th, 1936.
So they had some incestual laws or something?
Evidently. All right. On April 19th.
It seems a little judgmental to me.
1936, okay. BJ was arrested and charged with incest. It was a felony under California law. He was convicted and received a sentence of 50 years in prison. They don't fuck around with incest out there. Or incense, for that matter.
Fuck your niece, you're going away for
you're
a while.
You're going away.
Yeah, after 50 years, that's worse than murder.
There you can do all the butt stuff you want. When the papers got wind of the arrest...
Why did they arrest her? She was doing incest, too.
I doubt it. Doesn't say.
I wonder how long they put you away for having relations with a gnome.
If the gnome gave consent.
All right.
Let's see. The papers got wind of the arrest, and they began to delve into James's background and printed his numerous exploits for the world to read.
See, now he's on their radar now.
The widespread press coverage got the exact result that the police were hoping for. A liquor store owner came forth and told a reporter from the LA Herald a bizarre tale involving a drunk named Charles Hope. When the lead was passed on to police, they were able to track Hope down through the California Motor Vehicle Department. It was not long before the police showed up at a hamburger stand in Hermosa Beach, where Hope worked as a short order cook, and brought him in for questioning.
Okay.
At first, he denied knowing anything about Mary.
Right.
But after several hours of questioning, he finally admitted that he knew she'd drowned but refused to be more forthcoming with any of the details. However, after police took him back to the pink stucco house where Mary was murdered, Hope finally broke down and related the gruesome details of Mary's murder to the police.
See, never trust a short order cook when you're conspiring to commit murder. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Hope claims that he entered the James's barbershop one day and said he was broke and could he receive a haircut on credit.
See, here's the thing. Never give someone a haircut on credit because they're gone. After they get their haircut,
they're
never coming back.
No. James,
that's some bullshit right there.
Well, James agreed. And after Hope sat in his chair, see, he did an old bait and switch on him.
All right.
Wasn't going to give it to him on credit. After he sat down in his chair, James asked him if he knew anything about snakes.
That's a curious question. Somebody, you get a free haircut?
Come over here and tell me about snakes.
You can gauge a little small talk.
When Hope shook his head in the negative, James went on to explain that he had a friend who wanted to get rid of his wife and wanted to use rattlesnakes to commit the deed. Smart.
That's sweet.
Robert also told Hope that he would pay him $100 if he'd help him obtain the snakes. Hope, desperate for money.
I wonder if he's reading through that friend, you know, that if he's catching on, it's not really a friend.
Right. He was desperate for money, so he jumped at the chance.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah.
So he even made money.
But did he get a free haircut and $100?
Wait a minute. Here we go.
Or does he have to pay him back for the haircut?
Well, no. No, let me tell you. Guy kind of made out like a bandit.
All right.
So BJ gave Hope...
A clean-shaven bandit.
Gave Hope $20.
Okay.
And a few evenings later, he showed up with three rattlesnakes he'd purchased at a sideshow in Long Beach. Because, yeah, you can't just find those anywhere.
No.
Robert also gave Hope money to have two special boxes in which to house the snakes with sliding glass tops. When Hope came to Robert's barbershop a few days later, he found that BJ was dissatisfied with the snakes and had Hope go to the Ocean Park snake pit and purchase another pair of snakes.
Dude, I had this guy, I know, he collected snakes. And he was spending a fortune on their food. Like he had it shipped
live
to
rats. Dry. And, yeah.
No, it'd be like dried, you know, it was freeze dried or whatever.
Yeah.
He spent like a fortune on them.
Mm-hmm. But something, I don't know, they did, the ones he had did something to piss him off.
Right,
and so he decided.
Like the ones he got for $20.
Yeah, he's not liking that.
A gardener snake or something. He just
well,
in the backyard.
This picky motherfucker here, they were also met with James' disapproval. And Hope, this poor bastard, eventually ends up in Pasadena.
There were snakes all over California.
Yeah. Where he purchased two Colorado Diamondbacks named Lethal and Lightning.
All right.
And this is how you know you're getting good snakes. From a man named Snake Joe Hootenbrink. Now, if I'm going to buy snakes, I'm buying them from a guy named Snake Joe.
Hootenbrink.
Whatever. I don't care if his last name's Smith. I'm buying it from Snake Joe.
I agree. He sounds like a man of quality.
Oh. I wonder if that's his Christian name.
I don't know.
Like Major. Let's see. They were tested on chickens and definitely lived up to their names.
So the chickens died, in other words.
Evidently. Robert had decided to use Mary's pregnancy as a way to get rid of her and somehow managed to get her to agree.
He's romantic.
Yeah, he's a keeper. He managed to get her to agree to have an abortion.
All right.
Which, of course, at the time, abortion was illegal.
Right.
So on August 4th, 1935, Hope shows up at the James residence. And it was then that Robert revealed the real reason why he had Hope procure the snakes from Snake Joe.
All right.
And from evidently all over Hell's Half Acre.
He can't come too much of a shock to Hope, I would not think.
I don't know. BJ also warned Hope, but you know, at this point, you've got no other choice but to assist me because he was just as deep as Robert.
Well, he did go out and cure the snakes.
You're in it to win it now.
Yeah, don't look at me.
This motherfucker here. Good God. Robert convinced Mary that. As the procedure was illegal, Jesus Christ.
Mary's a little trusting soul.
Oh, love her goddamn heart. Yes, you know what? It's no wonder she just went down like a fucking tranquilized elephant.
She's buying all of this.
So, here you go. Wait for this. Robert convinced Mary that as the procedure was illegal, he would have to tape her eyes and mouth shut in order to protect the identity of the doctor.
All right. Seems reasonable.
After Mary consumed several glasses of whiskey as anesthesia, Robert helped Mary lay down on the kitchen table, taped her eyes and mouth, and strapped her down to the table.
All right.
Love her heart. God bless
she was
it.
She's trusting her husband.
Well, that's her first mistake. Robert then went into the garage where Hope was waiting and had him bring in one of the boxes containing the snakes.
So it's not going, it doesn't look good right now.
It does not. Robert grabbed Mary's foot, slid back the glass top, and stuck her foot into the box where the snake immediately sunk its fangs into her big toe three times.
And she's probably thinking, that's not my vagina.
Robert then instructed Hope to take the snakes back to Snake Joe. Well, for a fucking refund? I don't think you get refunds from Snake Joe.
We didn't eat him after they bit her.
I don't think you get refunds from Snake Joe. I think they have a no return policy. And what's he do with the other motherfuckers?
I don't know. He's trying to save a buck.
After he sold them back for half the price.
That doesn't seem like a good deal, does it?
He threw the special boxes out along the side of the road.
All right. So he's trying to get... He's trying to get some of his money back after they bit her.
Yeah.
The snake's bit. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume they still had the tags on them. They had a receipt. Snake Joe keeps some pretty fucking good books. Let's see. So
he's only got half the... Snake Joe made out okay.
Oh, Snake Joe did fine.
He basically rented him.
Snake Joe's a fucking businessman. He ain't playing. Yeah. He basically fucking rented him. So Hope flings his shit out on the side of the road. He then goes back to BJ's residence, where him and BJ go out and sit in the garage drinking whiskey while they wait for the snake venom to work its deadly course on Mary.
All right.
At 1:30 in the morning, Mary's leg was swollen and turning a dark purple, but she wasn't dead. She was very much alive and writhing in agony.
Oh, she must have. She probably suffered terribly.
It was then that BJ decided, fuck this. He'd had enough and decided to fall back on the same method he'd used with his previous wife.
Well, that worked before.
He carried her limp body to the bathroom and drowned her in a tub.
She drove off the mountain first, then did that.
I don't think he wasn't thinking clearly.
Sure.
He was drunk.
Clearly he wasn't.
Yeah. Later, Robert insisted that Hope help her carry her to the fish pond and arrange her body to make it appear that she had tripped and fell in head first. When confronted with the facts of the case in Hope's account, which it was obvious the police believed, Robert tried to turn the tables against him and blame Mary's murder on Hope.
Bastard.
Hope agreed to turn state's evidence, because what the fuck else does he have to do?
He's a short order cook. I mean,
He pled guilty to first degree murder and he received a life sentence. Robert James went on trial for the murder of his wife, Mary.
A fucking haircut,
you know? I know. Just give me, cut this some shit off the top. And now motherfuckers got to go see Snake Joe and people in fucking Pasadena and return snakes.
He got a trim. He tried to get a fade. That's a problem. He should just got a trim.
I wonder if he was trying. A mullet.
Yeah, that's probably what. I see him in the mullet.
Oh, for sure.
He probably got a lot of free haircuts after that.
I bet he did. Motherfucker, better cut my hair free. Cut and color and style and yeah. All right. So the trial lasted 5 weeks, after which the jury quickly returned with a guilty verdict. Shocker. Robert James was sentenced to death by hanging.
Seems fair.
He fought the sentence for 6 years with appeals, but eventually his luck ran out.
Oh.
On May 9th, 1942, Robert...
My birthday.
Uh-huh.
But not 1942.
Might be.
No.
Robert Rattlesnake James kept his date with destiny. By that time, however, California had adopted a more humane form of capital punishment. Unfortunately, in James's case, he was sentenced to death prior to the adoption of the gas chamber, so he became the last man to be hanged in California.
Oh. That's a distinction.
Fortunately for the rest of us, the rope was the wrong length, and it took him over 10 minutes to die.
You wonder if they really, you know, when they're doing that, they really measure it that closely. And
it's close enough. Whatever. Whatever. I got to go to lunch. I got my union lunch. Let me tell you something.
All right, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Robert Rattlesnake James?
They should have brought in Snake Joe and had him bit on the pecker by lethal or lightning. I feel like that would be a better...
I think Joe's made out like a bandit here. They just used his snakes, and he got them right back.
Yeah, duh.
I feel bad for Hope, though.
He got fucked.
Yeah.
All he wants is a mullet. That's all he wanted. So all the kids were having.
Crew cut or something.
That's all he wanted, some Brill cream on there.
Poor guy.
Nope, fucker gets... And he even said, do you know anything about snakes? No, I don't. He said no. That should have been the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lesson there, Brandy.
Never trust a barber that talks to me about snakes. I do not.
So you have no other final thoughts?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support the show on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit.
Yeah, every little bit helps, and we are very, very grateful. So Brandy's going to give a shout-out to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters.
I want my fucking sticker, Timmy. That's what I want.
I know.
All right, so let's go here. James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Maggie Glover, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, Ben and Rosanna from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Mike Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widner, Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from the Pleasing Terrors podcast, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, the Now American History podcast with Joe Hopkins, Catherine Cockgarage Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, and I really want to say A.A. Ron.
Okay.
Kimberly Kate. You all get it, don't you? Good. Kimberly Cambron, Elise, History Goes Bump podcast with Diane Student, Annette Petre, Lise Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, who do a podcast called Backroads to History.
And Poems by Jeff.
And Poems by Jeff. I have it written here if you shut up and let
All
me
right.
get to it.
All right.
Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Liu, Kristen Malachinsky, Heather Poole, Adam McWaters, The Vanished Podcast.
With Marissa Jones.
Yes. The Canadian True Crime with Christy Lee, Insight with Charlie and Allie, Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader, Ron, I don't know, I just can't do it today.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernhard, Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas Pigcock, and Ryan Smith, Julia Rodriguez, Michaela, Aaron Turner, Margaret McDonald, Jess, Leanne Flanagan, Rachel. We want to say, and Rudy, the flippin' Wonder Dog.
Yes.
And we also want to give a shout out to Lady Beverly.
Yes.
And
Beverly.
Little Miss Dottie.
And Mom, Happy New Year's.
Yes.
Thank all of you for joining us. And hopefully next time we'll have the Colonel with us. But if not, we'll get you a podcast out real soon. Any other final thoughts, Brandy?
Nope.
Watch your gnomes. That's the lesson for today.
I don't think I have any gnomes, but I will look and see.
Well, you don't know unless you put a camera in your house, because gnomes are known to roam around your house when you're not at home.
Roaming gnomes?
Yes. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.